So right before the book of Job, Esther, the end of chapter 4 is where we're going to begin. As we go on our way through the book of Esther, and we take what we can see in this Old Testament account of God's deliverance for the Jews, as we'll see that happen, but we take what we can and learn from that and apply it to our life. And so that's what we're doing as we go through the book of Esther. Now, today I want this to be a sermon. I want this to be something we can look at that will build our faith. You know, we have faith, a saving faith in Jesus Christ. But sometimes during our lives, our faith in, you know, just our old self and the rational part of the world and the message we get from the world all the time can erode the faith we have in the Word of God. It can erode the faith we have, and we have to go back and remember why. You know, why we came to Christ, why we became a Christian, and go back to these things and build our faith. And that's what I want this to be today, something that can build our faith, something we can grow, we can put more trust in the Word of God, because we all, every day, should be in the Word of God. We all should be in that. And when we're reading it, we're not reading, you know, just for our enjoyment. We're not reading just for, you know, fact gathering. We read it because it transforms it. It's changed our life. But it only does that if we know we can believe it, if we know we can trust it. And so that's what I want to look at today. I want to begin by talking about, maybe some of you have seen a TV show, I think it was an old TV show called Lost, and it was a show, I don't know, Ashley and I, 5-6 years ago, whenever it started, we watched it, and I liked that show. It's pretty interesting. These people go in and they crash a plane, and then there's all this weird stuff that happens on the island. There's all these mysteries that are starting, and we really stopped watching TV and didn't continue on with the show, so I don't know what happened. But there was all these mysteries that were supposed to take place, and why are they on this island, and why are they pushing this button, and what's this monster, and what's this other tribe of people, and all these things. And so it had the makings of a good plot. But Ashley informed me the other day that she was reading somewhere where they wrapped up that show, and most people did not like the ending. It didn't really wrap up anything. There were so many questions that were not answered. So many things. So these people, and these are writers, a group of writers, I presume, maybe one writer, but they had an idea for a show, and it just went for 4 or 5 years, and they had all this great stuff, but they couldn't tie it all up. I mean, the same writers. What I want to say is that is a human work, obviously. Okay, but the Bible, we have something in the Bible that, I mean, it opens up so many things in Genesis. I mean, we see all these things open up sin. When sin entered the world, we see how man and woman was created. We see all this stuff, and we see the problem that sin caused. And we see, you know, man's attempts and man's ways of trying to come to God, and we see all these things. But by the end of the book, it is wrapped up perfectly. And we see that from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation, this book is, I mean, it has all the questions, this whole plot that's opened, and then it closes everything by the end of Revelation. I mean, in a perfect way, where all our questions on those things are answered. And this book wasn't written by just one author. We could say, well, if one author sat down and wrote it, maybe he could, you know, he had the end in mind before he wrote it. But the Bible is written by 40 authors over 2,000 years, which they didn't communicate one with another. And so there's people writing, and they're writing a part, and another person writes a part, and they all write this part, but it all meshes perfectly together and answers all the questions and is seamless. The Bible's not like, you know, Lost. It's not like a book that we could buy at Walmart or something. It's a book unlike anything else. And I guarantee if even us in this room would get together and say, I would write a chapter, you know, of theology or something about God, then Rich would, and then somebody else, it would contradict itself. Because we all have our own biases we're putting into things. We have our own feelings, our own way of looking at it. And so we'd all try to get that across when we write. But that doesn't happen in the Bible. In the Bible, it's one message from beginning to end. There's still a personality in there, but nothing contradicts. Nothing, you know, is arguing against this part and arguing their own theology. Because though God used human writers, He was behind the whole thing. And that's what we can see from beginning to end, that God was behind this book. And that's what I want to look at today. Something that jumped out at me when I started going through Esther is the amazing book that we have in our hands. And there's so much, the unsearchable riches of this book, because I think we look at it and we see the basic part of it and we can see these things, how Christ was represented. But just like Christ on the road to Emmaus, he expounded to them all the things in the Old Testament about himself, I think we're going to learn so much when we get to heaven. How perfect of a book this actually is. and how much stuff was there that we didn't see that'll make total sense when Christ explains it to us. But even now, I mean, if we study in this book and we're in this book, we can see just amazing things throughout it. So we're going to begin in Esther chapter 4. So if you turn to Esther 4, and please stand with me. I'm going to read the last few verses of Esther chapter 4 into chapter 5. So Esther chapter 4, verse 15. The Bible says, "Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went this way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Let's pray. Dear God, I ask that you be with us today to help us see your scriptures, to understand them, to have a clear mind, and to ask your Holy Spirit that we would be not grieve your spirit, but allow your Holy Spirit to work in us, to convict us, to reprove us, to show us righteousness, and to expound these scriptures to us and open it up to us, Lord. And I ask you, help me to rightly divide your word of truth. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So I was beginning to go through Esther chapter 5, is where we picked up. And it said, "Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel." And so just looking at that, it says Esther on the third day. And I was planning on preaching all through chapter 5 today, but I stopped there and I thought, well, let's just research this third day, because it seems like the third day is written a lot in the Bible, does it not? And the third day is pretty important in the Bible. So I just started researching it the third day. And that's what the whole sermon is going to be about now. So I only got to the first third day. And so we're going to preach on the third day as it is throughout the Bible. So really this morning, I'm not going to preach a lot on Esther, but kind of take that third day and see the third day and how God has used the third day from Genesis all through the end, through Jesus Christ. And again, with a plot, with things in it written so much more than a TV program or a novel or somebody could write, all these things that are embedded in the Word of God. We know at the beginning, on the third day of creation, that's when God caused dry land to appear and the plants, life began. All things grow. So that was the day that there was truly life began, on the third day. We begin there. But I want you to turn with me to Genesis 22. So that's the first time that the third day was used, is on the third day of creation. But let's go to Genesis 22. Genesis 22, and we'll begin with verse 1. Okay, Abraham he's received his son Isaac from his wife Sarah. And we come to chapter 22, verse 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." So God was getting ready to test the faith of Abraham. He wasn't tempting him to sin. God tempts no one to sin, but God was getting ready to test his faith, and God knew what the answer would be. And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." So how many days did it take him to get to Mount Moriah, or to Moriah? 3 days. Now Abraham did not know, and Moses, when he wrote this, didn't know that Christ was going to be risen on the third day. But somehow, it took 3 days. God planned it, and we can see God's authorship all throughout. So it was the third day that he got to Mount Moriah. This is the place picked out by God. God picked a place that was 3 days' journey away. And it was the third day that he lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place that God told him afar off. "And Abraham said unto his young men, the servants that were with him, Abide ye here with this ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Something interesting here is this is the first time the word worship is used in the Bible. And what is he getting ready to do? When we think worship, we think, praise and worship, music. We think of feeling and, you know, excitement and joy. But worship, the first time it's used in the Bible, was him going to, he believed, sacrifice his son, to lose his one and only son. It wasn't a time of great joy for him. It was a time of obedience. It was a time of worship, means of ascribing worth to him, to God. So God was worth it to him. So we see the first time worship is used. And so he said, stay here, we're going to go and worship, and we'll come again. And so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? This is on the third day, looking for a lamb for the burnt offering. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now we look at this. Isaac said, where is the lamb that we're going to sacrifice here? He said, God will provide himself a lamb. It doesn't say God will provide for himself, although he did provide a lamb caught in thickets. He said, God will provide himself. God himself was to be that sacrifice, and we see that later on. But we see all this written early on in the Bible. Abraham had no idea, you know, about Christ on the third day being risen again. But somehow in Genesis 22, we see the third day, we see a sacrifice needed, we need a lamb needed. And so they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called out unto him out of heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. He was willing to give his only son to God. But God provided himself. He provided his only son for us, as we see. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, him behind him a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And so we see right there a replacement. A lamb died in the place of his son. And we all know the Lamb of God. But again, I'm saying this Bible is so much more than we can even imagine. And this is stuff that's pretty easy to see for us, the symbolism in here, and the amazing, the third day, all this stuff. But it's unlike any book ever written. There's no way Moses, when he wrote this, would have known anything about a third day, you know, later on. But all this stuff happened on the third day. Let's go to Genesis 42. Genesis 42. Joseph, at this time in Genesis 42, Joseph was in Egypt. He was in charge in Egypt, the second man in control. His brothers came from the land of Israel, and they were hungry, and they needed food. So they came down to Joseph. They didn't know he was their brother, but he knew. So we come to verse 9, Genesis chapter 42, verse 9. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. And he said unto them, ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land are ye come. So he decides to test them. And they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. That was, of course, Joseph, who they were talking to. And Joseph said unto them, this is it that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you. Or else, by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them on the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. So on the third day, Joseph gave these men a choice, a decision to make on something that happened that third day. He said, this do and live, after 3 days. And he allowed them to go. He kept one of them a prison to go bring their youngest son to test them. The decision they had to make was on that third day. This do and live. They could decide to do it or not to do it. He said, this do and live, because I fear God. That was on the third day. Let's go to Exodus chapter 10 as we go through the Bible here. Exodus chapter 10. And as we go through, like if you look at the second day or the fourth day or the fifth day or the sixth day, there's not near the mention in the Bible as there is on the third day and on the seventh day. Those 2 days are both mentioned 52 times in 48 verses. They're both mentioned the third day and the seventh day. So it's pretty amazing there as well. But the third day is mentioned a lot in Scripture, and it's important. We see Exodus chapter 10, verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. So the darkness was for 3 days. And what came after those 3 days? Light. Jesus is the light of the world. The Bible says that He was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So after 3 days of darkness, there was light. Again, how could all this happen unless God is the author of all these books? If God is the author from beginning to end and He knows what's going to happen, there's no way Moses, writing this down, would have any idea. And Moses would have known why it was dark for 3 days. 3 meant nothing to him. But to God it did. Let's go to Exodus 19. So, after 3 days, the darkness lifted and there was light. We come now to Exodus 19. Verse 10. And the Lord said to Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today to clean them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. So it was the third day the Lord was going to present himself to his people. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. It shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and they sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. So God presented himself to Israel on the third day. It was the third day that they were able to see the glory of God on the third day. Let's go to 2 Kings. A little jump in our Bibles now. 2 Kings chapter 20. And we come to a king named Hezekiah, a good king. Hezekiah was a king that followed after God. He did good in the sight of the Lord, which is what we want to see, a king of Judah. Hezekiah chapter, 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. In those days, 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. I would say if you come here and you just stick with me in the Scripture, by the end of the year you ought to know your Bible pretty well. You know, we do a lot of flipping. So, 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, so he was sick unto death. The result of his sickness was going to be death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he, Hezekiah, turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out in the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayers, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and the city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took and laid on the boil, and he recovered. So he was sick unto death, they laid this lump of figs on him, and he recovered, but he wasn't healed. He recovered from imminent death, but he was not healed, because he said in verse 8, Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? So God said that he can go to the house of the Lord to present himself before the priest so they could pronounce him clean, as the custom was. And he was going to do that the third day. And Hezekiah said, what's the sign that he will give me? And that's when Isaiah said, you know, the sun will go back 10 degrees in the sky, and that will be the sign you will be healed the third day. So Hezekiah was healed, and he lived 15 more years, but he was healed on the third day from a sickness that was unto death. And we know the wages of sin is death. But on the third day, Hezekiah was healed. We saw in Esther chapter 4, which we began with, and on to chapter 5, that Esther on the third day went into the king and God began his deliverance of his people on the third day. Let's go to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah. So you find Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, and then Jonah. Jonah's tough because it's a small book. So if you can find that quickly, you know you're getting to know your Bible. So Jonah chapter 1. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, then Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 verse 17. And we all know the book of Jonah. Here it says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." So again, Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. And on the third day, chapter 2, verse 10, "The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." So Jonah was given a second chance. He was dead, but then he was made alive again. It was on the third day. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12 now. There's many more examples, but for time, we just took some of those that happened on the third day. Now, does the third day have any other significance in the Bible? Of course it does. We're going to see this. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. And all these people that wrote down these accounts, that did these things, that were in, like Jonah couldn't control, he's in the belly of the whale for 3 days. Moses couldn't control that the darkness, all these things, these 3 days were beyond control. Jesus Christ could not control that he was in the tomb for 3 days, except that he's God. And that's what we're trying to prove, that this is God that wrote this book. It's God that wrote the whole story of mankind. God is behind us, and so we can trust this. Matthew chapter 12, again looking at the third day, verse 34. We're going to begin a little ahead here. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Jesus speaks. He says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." I wanted to put that in here because it was leading up in context. But a lot of times we will say, you know, we say stuff and I didn't mean that. Or I say stuff and that's really not where my heart was. But the Bible says that the words that come out of our mouth are out of the abundance of our heart. And that our words do mean things. And we do say things. And we say, you know, when we gossip or we, you know, say evil things, we say something mean about somebody else, we say, "Well, that's not really me." Yes, that is really us. And that's the problem with us. And we need to ask forgiveness for those things because really our heart is desperately wicked. And when things come out of our mouth which we know are wrong, that's because our heart is wicked. And that's why God sent His Son to save us. And that's why as Christians, okay, we need to confess our sins and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we don't want to go through life saying things and acting things and acting mean and, you know, doing all these things and say, "Well, that's not really me. You know, inside I'm a good person." Because no, inside we're really not. And what our mouth speaks forth, it speaks forth out of the abundance of our heart. And the Bible says that every idle word that we shall speak, we shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So Jesus was saying this, and so the scribes in verse 38, they want to know, how can this man, Jesus, an uneducated man, he didn't go to these schools, he's not a Pharisee or a Sadducee or a scribe or a priest, how can he be saying these things? Why should we listen to him? So certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered in verse 38. And they said, "Master, we would see a sign from thee. You're going to tell us all this stuff. I'd like to see a sign. Why should we believe this?" But he answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So right there, did Jesus believe Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights? Yeah, and if he believes it, I believe it. You know, it's not a myth or a fairy tale. Jonas was. Jesus said that. And just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, Christ said, "I will be in the heart of the earth." And so we see the 3 days and the 3 nights. Let's go on in Matthew 16. There's the first time Jesus predicted that he would be just 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew 16, verse 21. Matthew 16, verse 21. Jesus is speaking again. Or actually, this is just God is telling us this. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So Jesus told them, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to rise again the third day. Matthew 17, verse 22. Matthew 17, verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. They shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. Jesus Christ told them over and over. They didn't believe him or they didn't understand. They didn't see these things. But Jesus said, the third day I will rise again. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Verse 17. Matthew 20, verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. That's the third time Christ has told them that on the third day he will rise again. If you would, turn to John chapter 2, verse 18. We have all these accounts of what happened on the third day. Jesus pointed to this third day over and over and over, saying the third day. Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. 3 times he said the Son of Man will be crucified, he'll be buried, and he'll rise again the third day. In John chapter 2, verse 18, he says it another way. John chapter 2, verse 18. Then answered the Jews. John 2, verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was the temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said. When we look back on the Old Testament, we can remember that these things happened on the third day. That's when life began on the third day. That's when Abraham went up on the third day to offer Isaac. And God said, I'll provide myself a lamb in the place of Isaac on the third day. That's when Joseph said to them, he said, this do and live on the third day. His brothers had a choice. That's when light began to shine in Egypt on the third day. That's when God presented himself to his people on the third day on Mount Sinai. That's when Hezekiah's sickness unto death was healed, was on the third day. That's when Jonah was spit out of the belly of the whale on the third day. That's when Jesus said he would rise again on the third day. And that's when Jesus did rise again on the third day. Let's go to Matthew 27. So again, you look at this from the point of view, if this was a human author writing this whole book of the Bible, yeah, it's a pretty good plot. Pretty amazing, but these people did not know each other. Jonah didn't talk to Moses and say, hey, let's do this 3 day thing. Jesus didn't, you know, they did not do it. They didn't know each other. We, even knowing each other, could not write a book that agrees this well. These men were moved as they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's what it tells us in 2 Peter. They spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost wrote this book. The Holy Ghost has so much that we don't even see in this book, but we can see this theme of the third day throughout here. Matthew 27. I just want to look real quick. Let's look at verse 39. Matthew 27, 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him and the scribes and elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, for he will have him. if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. So they keep on mocking him and throwing these insults at him and talking about, save yourself. Jesus said, the sign that he will give that he is God would be that on the third day he would rise again. The only sign he would give was the sign of the prophet Jonah. The sign he would give is that destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it back up. That was the sign to prove that he was God. That's the sign that seals all that he said, that seals this whole book, was Jesus Christ on the third day was to rise again. We can pin everything on the third day. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because our faith begins with what happened on that third day. We do not worship a Savior that said a bunch of good things. He taught a way of living with the Beatitudes, and he said these things, and then he died, and he passed away. And we think he had it right. We don't worship him because of the things he said. We worship him because he rose again on the third day. Because he's a resurrected Savior. Because he proved it, that he gave the sign that he was going to give that he was God. And because he's God, now we believe everything he said. There's been a lot of men that have said good things that sound good. And Jesus far above all those. But the reason we trust him is because of what happened the third day. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. All these witnesses to the fact that on the third day Jesus Christ rose again. And that's why. That was the sign that he gave them. That's the sign that he gives us, that we can trust him, that he is God. That all he said goes. That he's our Savior. We said it a bunch of times, but all the world religions were started by some man who had good ideas or, you know, and got a following. But all those men died, were buried, and remained buried. There's only one man that predicted it. He predicted it from the beginning of his word throughout, that on the third day, something amazing would happen. On that third day, he said, I will rise again, and he did it. And he was seen by all these witnesses. And that resurrection, that third day, is where our, you know, our whole lives begin. Let's look at verse 11. 1 Corinthians 15, 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. If Christ didn't rise again that third day, what you're doing here today is worthless. What I'm doing with my life is worthless. What Ed and Virginia spent their life doing was worthless. What we all as Christians spend our life doing is worthless if Christ be not risen. But I want us to see that this was not just something that was just some happenstance on the third day he rose. It was from the very beginning of Scripture, written and prophesied. From when Abraham raised up that knife and God provided a lamb on that third day. God provided a lamb in his stead. And who is Jesus Christ but the Lamb of God? Remember John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. It all, our faith begins on that third day when Jesus Christ rose again. Let's turn to Hosea chapter 5. Right after Daniel is the book of Hosea. So Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, then Hosea chapter 5. Our faith, our life, our eternal life is because of what happened that third day. The third day is so important throughout Scripture. The third day pointed to Jesus Christ. That third day was fulfilled when Jesus Christ rose again. Hosea 5, verse 15. God speaks and God says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction they will seek me early. So God says, I'm going to go return to my place till they acknowledge their offense, till they acknowledge their sin, until they seek God. That's repentance. When we acknowledge our sin, we turn from the way we're going, we turn to God. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction they will seek me early. Come, now Hosea is speaking, God is speaking, come, let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. God's Holy Spirit, it He chastises us. He brings us low so that we can turn to Him. But He doesn't leave us that way. He hath torn, but He will heal us. He has smitten, He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us. In the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. What is it on the third day that this is talking about, that He will raise us up? Are we risen with Christ? Yes, we are. Ephesians 5. Let's turn to Ephesians 5 if you can with me. Actually, Ephesians 2 is where I want to go. Ephesians 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together with Christ. He's made us alive with Christ. By grace are you saved. And He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're raised up together. We're quickened. We're made alive together with Christ. So when it says on the third day I will raise them up, God talked about repentance. He talked about turning to Him, putting belief and faith in Him, and on the third day He will raise us up. We're raised with Christ. Turn to Colossians, just two books past that. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 2. Are we raised with Christ? As it said in Hosea, on the third day I will raise them up. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 says, we are buried with Him in baptism, wherein also are ye risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. We are risen with Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, and that's just what Hosea said, on the third day He will raise us up. When Christ rose again, through faith in Him, we are risen. We are resurrected. We are transformed. As Ed said, all things become new. We're a new creation. We're born again. If we be risen with Christ, and that's who I speak to as Christians today. If it says in Colossians 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you're risen with Christ, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, here's what we should do. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So if we're risen with Christ, if we're Christians, if we've been saved, if we look at this book and we see these things, we see the amazing promises in the book, we see how Christ fulfilled that on the third day, and we see the message of the gospel, the message of hope that there is. If we're risen with Christ, we need to set our affections on things above. So that's the call for us today. Okay, believe this. I mean, hopefully this could build your strength just in the Word of God, how amazing of a book it is, and how it ties together all the way through. But now that we see that, now that we know that, what do? We set our affections on things above, because we can so easily get tied down to things of the world. We can think, you know, what job am I going to get? How am I going to do this? How am I going to, you know, all this stuff of the world, these things, the problems we have. We set our affection on things above, on Christ, on heaven, on sharing and witnessing with others. The Bible says to, you know, store up for yourself treasures in heaven, things that are above. How do we get treasures in heaven? Is that by having a lot of material goods down here? No. It's by preaching the good news. It's by sharing. It's by going out and helping others in the name of Christ. A cup of cold water in the name of Christ. It's doing things in the name of Christ. Everything you do for Christ. We do it all for Christ. We're setting our affection on things above. That's where our love is. That's where our heart is in things above. And if our heart's there, our mouth's going to speak forth out of the abundance of our heart. We should be speaking things of Christ. So I encourage you today, just from what we've seen on this third day, the way we've saw it throughout Scripture, the way we see it fulfilled, and the third day is where our faith begins. The third day is why we're Christians. It's why we're here. It's because Jesus Christ rose again. And because Jesus Christ rose again, we're going to rise also, is what 1 Corinthians 15 says. This is not all life is. We have this 80, 90 years, Lord willing, to do what all we can for Christ, and then from then on, we're going to be with Christ, absent with the body. We're going to be present with the Lord in heaven. We're going to return. We're going to reign with Him here for 1,000 years. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. We're going to live and reign and work and farm and do all these things in a perfect world. That's what we see in the book of Revelation. We have that to look forward to. So why we're here, why we have this time, Jesus said, night is coming where no man can work. Work while yet day. This is day for us. Other people have had their day and then they died and they're with heaven, and they're with Christ in heaven. We have our day right now. We don't know when it's going to end. I mean, how many times just lately have we seen young men and young women in their 30s? You know, we don't think of that as really old. But, I mean, coming near to death. I mean, we are not guaranteed another moment. We're not guaranteed another day. It could end tomorrow, and our night is then. We need to work while it's day. Set our affection on things above. And we can have that confidence because we can trust this Bible. Because just because we set our affections on things above, just because we start preaching the Word of God and doing what we're supposed to do and living for Christ, doesn't mean that everything's going to go well in our life. The world's going to hate us. And Jesus said, if they hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Jesus Christ was perfect and He got crucified. He said, don't you think that the same's going to happen to you? So don't think because, okay, we're going to live for Christ, things are going to be perfect. No, but we can suffer through that because we know we're built on a rock. This Word of God. Jesus Christ, who is the Word. The Word is true. The Word is faithful. Everything in here is faithful. We can build our lives on this book. We can make decisions on this book because of what happened that third day. Let's bow our heads with me, if you will, please. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for just the amazing way that it begins, that it ends, that it leads to Christ, that the prophecies that were fulfilled, the way that You have not wanted us to put our faith in just fairy tales. You don't want us to just put our faith in something that we don't know, but our faith is only good if our faith is in the man, Jesus Christ, is in Your Son. The faith is good because of who we put it in, and we put it in Your Son who has proved Himself by many infallible proofs, and that we know that He came, He lived a sinless life, He died, He was buried, as He said, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And because of that, Lord, we know that we can have eternal life as well. We know the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I ask that anybody here today that does not know that they're saved, does not know they're a Christian, that they can just call upon the name of the Lord. Acknowledge their sin and turn and believe on Jesus Christ and begin a new life, become a new creation, because of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. So Lord, I thank You for Your Word. I just ask that the words that I spoke today can have an effect on us, can change the decisions we make in our lives, can help us to live more for You and to encourage us in this week, because Lord, we know it's a hostile world. We know that Your Word says it's going to be. Lord, I ask that You can give us each the strength individually to do what You want us to do. The Bible said, if he who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Lord, if we know what to do, let us do it. Give us the power, give us the strength to do the works that You have for each one of us to do, which is different. But let us obey You, obey Your Word, obey Your Holy Spirit, and grieve not Your Holy Spirit. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.